Ventnor City Planning Board meeting, March 8th, 2023.
I know, well, it's small.
I wish to call the March 8th meeting of the Ventnor City Planning Board to session. This meeting is being held in accordance with due public notice thereof and pursuant to the New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Notice that this meeting was advertised in the press and current, and a copy of same has been posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building. At this time, let us rise and salute the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Will our board administrator please call the roll?
Commissioner Crevel?
Here.
Jay Cook?
Here.
Roman Zabby Hutch?
Here.
Lorraine Salata?
Here.
Dan Smith III?
Here.
Mike Wiesen?
Here.
Peter Tocco?
Here.
Tim Coop?
Here.
Jessica Stilley?
Here.
Absent are Mayor Landgraf, Tom Halpin, Greer Gaskell, and Wendy Bartlett.
Okay, our solicitor has an announcement to make regarding the agenda this evening.
Okay, there's four cases listed on the agenda. Two of them are going to be postponed, so just for everyone here. The first one is Michael Shamshick. That's 111 South Cambridge Avenue, Block 20, Lot 2. That is going to be heard at our next meeting, which is, I believe, the 27th?
Correct.
So March 27th, 2023, 6:30 p.m. in this room. The applicant will not be required to republish or renotice, so if you're here for that, are you the applicant?
No, we were here just
to speak. So he's going to, Roger, do you have any information? Is he going to, as to why he's coming back? He needed to get
his
some things in order.
Yeah, he needed some more information in his application.
So we needed a couple more things from him to assess it, and then so it'll be 2 weeks from Monday?
The 27th.
Same time, same place, March 27th. So it'll be a Monday night as opposed to a Wednesday night. Okay, and you'll have the opportunity to say whatever you want to say then, okay?
Thank you.
Yeah. Do you guys live within that building? Okay. All right, so that's that, and then I think Mr. Goldstein's here, but Anthony, or you can check in with Carmella.
It should be, they have to resubmit a new application, the plans, I believe, are staying the same?
Yes.
What do you think that'll be though?
It has to be 10 days before the 27th, so.
By the 17th, okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for coming this evening, by the way. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, I know Eric's here, and if he wants to say anything, he certainly can, but Anthony Murata, 6917 Atlantic Avenue, Block 79, Lot 1, that's also going to be moved to March 27th, 2023, 6:30 p.m. in this room. I took a look at the notice. I find it to be legally sufficient, so the applicant won't be required to republish or renotice. There was some issues with the applicant submitting, again, similar to the last one, submitting some revised plans that they have to get in. So that's the reason. And I talked to Mr. Goldstein. I think we're on the same page with that.
Yeah, and just very briefly, Mr. Manos, on behalf of that application, the applicant has finalized a revision to the architecturals and the site plan. I think Mr. Agnesino, Mr. McLaren pointed out that it had to have a D variance indication. Those plans will probably be in by the end of the week. I think Mr. Murata will probably drop them off himself, and then we'll be good to go for the next meeting.
Okay. So if anyone's here for that, we didn't want you to stick around all day, all night.
All right. Now,
you okay? You seem... March 27th, they're going to submit revised plans. Because my understanding that the plans weren't, there was going to be some revisions that weren't on file, so that's why we have to push it to the 27th, same time, 6:30 p.m., same time. but you won't get a new, this is your announcement.
Right, it's good.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you for coming this evening.
Might as well get Mr. McLaren sworn in while I'm...
Well, I gotta do a couple other things.
Okay.
We have to do a roll call. We did roll call. Okay, we have to do minutes now. At this time, we have adoption of minutes from the last meeting. Has anyone have any amendments or changes to said minutes? Hearing none, or seeing no request, may I have a motion and a second for adoption of the minutes as written?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes carry it. The minutes are hereby adopted. We have three resolutions this evening for adoption. We're going to do this a bundle again. And these resolutions are P11 2023, Ellen Jacobs, P12 2023, Kevin Bish, and P13 2023. That's 6900 Ventnor Plaza, PKRZ LLC. Are there any changes or amendments to those resolutions?
Not Ventnor Plaza.
That's Ventnor Plaza.
No Plaza.
6900 Ventnor, that's Ventnor Plaza?
No.
No, that was the one on the Ventnor, the corner of Ventnor and Newark Avenue.
Exactly.
6900 Ventnor, PKRZ LLC.
Right, PKR LLC. So they stand.
Yep.
Okay. Are there any changes to any of those resolutions? May I have a motion and a second for adoption, please?
Make a motion.
Second?
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The motions are hereby adopted. The resolutions are hereby adopted. We'll move on. Next is the applications this evening. The first application will be Scott and Cindria Schaefer at 101 South Dudley Avenue. Everybody, please be sworn first, and then we'll go from there.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Miller is here, of course, to my right, who's going to be testifying, and Schaefer is here to testify briefly as to a couple of things. So, if you stand up, and Leo Mattos, the attorney, will swear you in. Hello.
Okay, Mr. Schaefer, Mr. Miller, if you can each state your name and address and or business address, or Mrs. Schaefer, I'm sorry. Whoever's going to speak, state your name and address for the record, and I'll swear everyone in together.
Cydria Schaefer, 101 South Dudley Avenue.
Thank you. And Mr. Miller?
Todd Miller, QMA Architects, 15 South Dorsey.
Okay, if you can each please raise your right hand. Do each swear or affirm the testimony you'll give tonight will be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, let the record reflect that Todd Miller is an architect of record, and his credentials are acceptable
okay.
to the city. And while we're doing this, we'll have Mr. McLaren sworn in.
Sure. Mr. McLaren, please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you'll give throughout this evening will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. Goldstein, we're going to have Mr. McLaren and give a preamble first.
Excellent.
And go into your thing complete.
Hey.
Roger, will you please continue at this time?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members. The report is based on the application of Scott and Cydria Schaefer, Block 16, Lot 4.02, 101 South Dudley Avenue, Ventnor, New Jersey. Engineering and planning review, located in the R1 Single Family Zoning District. They are in an X zone.
Is he on? Are you on? Your mic on? Yeah, okay.
Located within the X zone, preliminary firm, so you default to the next adjacent grade, which is AE10, which is irrelevant in this application. It's been deemed complete, seeking hardship variance and substantial benefit variance. The hardship aspect is minor, but it is a corner property and they're subject to two front yards, so it's kind of being pushed in on two sides. So it's materials reviewed on the bottom of page one, contained on top of page two. Below that is the plans received and reviewed, most of them by Todd Miller. I believe there's a newer survey that was submitted.
The most recent one I think we've got is that Ponzio, the date on that.
From 2016? Okay, so I had a sticky saying there's a new survey coming, but you'll need some testimony saying that that survey is...
Sure, we can establish that with that.
So, project description, the applicant is seeking variance relief in order to enlarge a third floor by adding dormer space and also enclosing an area on the first floor below a deck. The building coverage, although increasing, is still compliant with the ordinance requirements. The property has extensive existing landscaping, and it should be maintained and not reduced in any shape or manner. The zoning chart on page 3, continuing on page 4, and I'll just briefly go over the variances requested and agreed upon by the board engineer. A front yard setback to the building along Dudley Avenue, whereas 15 feet is a minimum setback required, 19.64 feet exist, and 14.6 feet is proposed. So again, you have about a 5-inch variance request on Dudley Avenue. Front yard setback for the building Atlantic Avenue, whereas 15 feet is the minimum setback required, 14.93 feet exist, and 10.5 feet is proposed. And again, that's in line with the existing deck, and the testimony will confirm that. And the aggregate dormer length per side, whereas the maximum dormer length per side is 40% of the side, 39.5% exist, and 51.4% is proposed. I'm pretty glad we don't have that roof slope envelope requirements anymore. It makes it a lot easier. So going back to the zoning chart, just to go over a couple things. So the use is a compliant use. The lot area exceeds the minimum lot area. The lot width is being met. The lot depth is also exceeded. Again, all other bulk standards and requirements are being met. Third floor deck is existing non-conforming, but I do believe they might have been, when they built the house, they may have received approval back then. So I do believe that all landscape requirements are going to be met according to the zoning chart provided by QMA, and that will be confirmed by the applicant. Just a couple comments on the review. The proposed front yard setback along Dudley Avenue is nearly being met in a variance of about, I said 4 inches, and it's about 3.5 inches is needed. The proposed setback along Atlantic Avenue to the building is being reduced and is proposed to be in line with the deck. Encroachment for a small portion of the frontage. So it's just, you're not bumping out the entire first floor, it's just one corner along Dudley Avenue pretty much. And the aggregate dormer length, again, they are fully compliant with the area of the third floor. In Ventnor, we're pretty generous where we allow 75% to be 7 feet or higher. And I believe they're just under 70% or right at 70%. And that's pretty much it.
Hey, are you in agreement with the analysis?
100%. And just one other thing to add, because I know this is very important to the board. You'll notice in the plan that very large tree on the corner. That's being maintained. That tree, as Sidri will testify, fills up with birds. It's a great place for wildlife. We're trying to maintain as much green space as possible. So that tree is not going anywhere. That is important for the applicant. Hopefully it's equally important for the board. Having said that, may we proceed, Mr. Chairman?
Please.
Okay. Thank you. Eric Goldstein on behalf of the applicants. With me, of course, tonight is Mr. Miller. He's going to testify to the variance as necessary, but as the board notes, Todd's plans are great on these renovation projects because this doesn't require the house to be torn down and start over with your unfortunate McMansion or whatever. The board looks at some of these new construction projects. The goal here initially was to save as much of the original house as well as much of the landscaping as possible while making it a little bit bigger. The applicants will reside in this house as full-time Ventnor residents. It's a big deal to them, it's a big deal for us because they're going to be here for the duration. So we're going to get a little testimony on that in just a second. But Todd, if you don't mind, take the mic and just walk us through the plan design and how it's meant to keep in front of the original house. But also, we do need variances that Robert points out correctly. One of which is very minimal, the other two, we want to make sure we can establish the negative.
Certainly, absolutely. So I won't reiterate the go through.
Todd,
all the,
you might have to hold the mic. Travel back and.
I'm sorry, the face. I won't reiterate all the things that Mr. McLernan has already spoken to about the compliance of the structure. The Schaefers came to us about a year ago and asked us to help them tweak their relatively new house. It was completed about 6 years ago. But as we all know, the world has changed a little bit since then. They became full-time residents. They will be full-time residents. They are full-time residents in the house. And as such, they realized that the function of the relatively new house doesn't quite meet their needs. So they asked us to enlarge a couple of the bedrooms on the first floor and to enlarge the third floor a little bit to provide a studio for Scott to do some work in. So what we have done, and normally we don't hide the architecture.
You're a little hard to understand, so you don't have to slow down or speak with that. That mask is changing some of your voice.
So normally we don't hide our architecture with big trees, but this is a beautiful 30-foot magnolia tree, which the Schaefers had saved from the house that was on the site before they built their house. And we, of course, are planning to keep this tree here. You can see it in the photograph, which I've enlarged. It completely sort of shades and encloses the corner of the house. There's also a new blue spruce that's sort of off to the side here in front of the house, which, of course, is also another evergreen. The reason I bring that up is because this is where two of the variances that we're requesting occur. So on the Dudley Avenue side, we're expanding two bedrooms onto the existing wraparound porch. And we're expanding them by 5 feet to make those two bedrooms all the bigger. And that will require a 6-inch variance. And on the bedroom in the corner, we're expanding onto the existing porch, up to the edge of the porch. And that will require a 5-foot variance. All of that work is behind these two existing evergreen trees, so we will perceive these from the street to the corner of the house. In addition, on the third floor, we've expanded the third floor out towards the backyard, which is much larger than is required at 37 feet deep. And you can see, so the front of the house, we comply with the dormer width requirements. It's on the opposite side of the house where we have several dormers, and we're adding this one right here in the back that requires that dormer width variance. Sort of a unique aspect of the way the ordinance is written. If the house was built from the front setback line to the rear yard setback line, our dormers would comply because we would have a bigger house. But because the house is not built as large as it could be, we need a variance for the dormers, and that's why we're here. You see, this side of the house faces the ocean, and the property next to it is the garden for the house, which is on the ocean side of them, and there are about a 60-foot wide garden. So there's lots of separation between our house and the house next to it as well.
Adam, I'm going to jump in real quickly here. Based upon your experience and your testimony here tonight as a licensed professional architect, the variances as we see them in the project points out, one of those is 3.5 inches, but the other two are significant. Do you find any way someone could particularly state that these variances would create a negative towards anything with what the Schaefers are trying to do?
No, for the reasons that we talked about, because of the separation between this house and the neighboring houses, because it's on a corner. Dudley is 55 feet wide, and Atlantic Avenue is over 100 feet wide. The variances that we're talking about are so far away from any neighbors that there's no impact on them whatsoever.
And to the extent anyone could possibly say there's a negative associated with these variances, would the positives greatly outweigh any such negative?
Yeah, I think the heavy use of landscaping, the maintenance, maintaining the existing landscaping, and the shrubbery on the site, I think that more than offsets the minor deviations that we're requesting.
I just want to point out as well, Roger's report, of course, is accurate. The house itself, even with positive renovations for the additional area, still below their allowable height. and still, with regard to other design aspects of the property, either meets or exceeds what is required. So, as I said, one variance is often de minimis, 3.5 inches. The other two do need relief, but it's such that the house sits in an area where the unique topography of the surrounding homes and garden, we believe, have little or no, I would say no impact, but certainly little impact on anything else around it. So we do believe that the application as submitted meets the requirements of the New Jersey Municipal Land Use Law, as well as standard ordinances regarding setbacks, height, and everything else. But this addition does need a few variances, which we believe the applicants can show don't really affect anybody at all. Important to note, of course, again, the landscaping is tremendous here. This particular area of town is more landscaped than most, and if the Schaefers went out of their way to make this project as problematic free, that's acceptable. Try to make this have zero problems for either day. I don't think it's going to create, of course, that's my professional side to create, but I just do want to sit here to talk this for a minute, unless the board has any questions for Todd before we turn it over.
I have one question, Todd.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned that the bedrooms are being expanded out onto the deck. Did I collect it to say that is the deck being expanded as well, or the deck is remaining in its footprint?
The deck is remaining the same, unchanged, and we're just moving the interior space and enclosing part of those existing
decks. So you're taking some of the deck space away?
Yes.
And then making the front deck smaller?
Yes.
That's on the first level only?
I'm sorry?
Is that on the first level only, or is that on the second level?
On the first level only. The second level is completely unchanged, and then on the third level, there's just the expansion over the roof towards the backyard.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a question. Yeah. So on the front yard of the building, you're only asking for a few inches of relief. So I'm just curious, why wouldn't you just make that a 15-foot setback and not have to have a variance on that? Make it comply.
We talked about that and whether it. We could give up the 6 inches that we're asking for on Dudley Avenue, but because of the furniture that they plan on putting in these spaces, and one of the bedrooms is going to become more of a gym than a bedroom, they just actually need that extra 6 inches. They didn't want any more than they needed, but they wanted what they felt they needed.
The dimensions for the room seem somewhat generous.
Yes. Yeah, but that was because of all the equipment they want to put in there.
Okay, please continue. If there's no more questions from the board, have any more questions? Please continue.
Sidra, you've been supportive of the board and why you wanted to do this project. Kathy will be moving in, keeping the landscaping, and just get to know your new name.
Yeah, hi. Sidra Schaefer. We built this house in 2016. We lived in the house that was there prior. When we built this house, we spent a long time going over the plans, and the architect asked us multiple times, are you ever going to live there full time? And our answer was always no. Be careful what you say. And life changed, and we decided to move here full time, which we did in July. And having moved here full time and consolidating from two houses down to one, and being here full time, we're using the house differently. And we found that we could, you know, really enjoy the house and use the house to its benefit, but it needed some tweaking from our original plan because of moving down here full time. That's basically it. Anybody have any questions? We lived in the house before. The tree was planted by my mother. It's never going away. So we're kind of tied to the lot.
It's always good to put a personal touch on both.
Right.
Todd and I can talk about it forever.
Right.
Anybody
have any questions?
Why did you choose to live here full time?
COVID changed everybody's life. My husband's still working. I retired, but my husband's still working 2 days a week, so he's doing a reverse commute now. But We were down here almost full-time, and we decided we can commute the other way, so.
And what attracts you to Ventnor so much?
Well, I've lived here for 40 years. We lived in the house that was here before, and we just love Ventnor. We think it's an ideal.
In other words, you belong here.
Yeah, I mean, I've been here for a long time. I don't, well, you know, we looked, you know, other places when we were deciding to build this house, and we're like, why would we give this up? Also, this lot, it to us is really special. It's almost one of the highest lots on the whole island. We're like, why would we ever give up this lot and move somewhere else? So we kept the lot, and yeah, and it's important to us.
I'm sure you rehearsed all these reasons, right?
would you be willing to do a commercial for Ventnor?
I'd be more than willing to do a commercial for Ventnor. I mean, Ventnor's a lost gem. I mean, I don't understand why people live other places. It's the, I really don't understand. But we, you know, we love where we are. We can walk to restaurants. We can walk to the movies now. We can do, yeah, walk to the bike shop.
Very good.
Walk for ice cream, right.
I think
so.
We need a planning board member to make this deal. We have nothing else, Mr. Chairman. Okay. Before I answer any questions you have, right. But I think this is a fairly de minimis application. The applicant, I think, will be the case for the three variants that we're seeking. And certainly this lot has a good point. Why go for the variants is that? And I guess the answer is because they're honest. They could have just budgeted and said, we're not going to sell the neighborhood because no one really up to their notice. They just pulled the pot, put everything down.
Okay. Well, I'm going to open up to the public, if you don't mind. And would anybody in the public like to make comment on this application? I guess not. I'm hearing you're seeing no requests, so the public portion of this application is now closed. Roger, do you have any comments on this, anything more?
Yes, I'm quite pleased to see the Easter egg has returned to the plans.
Board members?
Two.
Any questions of the applicant, of our professionals? If not, Leo, could you frame a motion, please?
Yes. Someone needs to, it's a C variance application, 3 C variances. 1 checklist waiver, so someone has to make a motion and a second for the following variances. Front yard setback to the house along Dudley, 15 feet is required. They're at 14.6 feet. Front yard setback to the house along Atlantic Avenue, 15 feet is required, and 10.5 feet is proposed. And then the aggregate dormer length per side can be a maximum of 40%. And they're at 51.4% for that dormer. The checklist or submission waiver is, we alluded to at the beginning, the survey is older than 2 years, and I assume we're satisfied that still accurately depicts the conditions, or sufficiently enough. And then the conditions will just be anything in Mr. McLaren's report, subject to any that haven't been addressed, any representations made by the applicant, and subject to any other outside approvals, just the standard conditions that we typically impose.
So may I have a motion and a second, please?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Second. We'll have a roll call vote and state your reasons, please.
Commissioner Crebel?
I appreciate that we try to keep new builds away from variances, but if I were in any other business, I would look at it maybe with a little more jaundiced view, but I know from being in construction and design that people's wish lists can sometimes hinge on a few inches, and you can build the 4,000 square foot house and still feel like you have to put an addition on it after you've manipulated the pathways and the door openings and the furniture. So I don't see the impact to the neighborhood by adding that few inches. And I think you actually have some interesting, and I don't think the the curb appeal of the house is really going to change at all. You've figured out a way to keep the rhythm of the dormers kind of symmetrical, and what were open parts of the home are now going to be closed and accent color. So I really think it's going to be kind of invisible to the neighborhood. So I'm in favor of the variation of the application.
Jay Cook?
I'm going to vote in favor of it. When you look at the application, you look at the property appears almost unchanged, except you'll notice the improvements basically if you see it happening. But for the owners, it actually makes their lives better. And part of the whole thing in the community is to improve the quality of life and a resort life. And with the accolades that they gave for the community, how can you help not approve this application? But still, when you get into the master plan and you look at what's going on, the house is being improved. The property is not being deteriorated. The sight lines, any interference with the neighbors, any other thing is not, there's no negative impact to the community. That's what you look at. There's none. And the footprint of the house isn't even being changed. So with that, you know, that's why what the question was about, is the porch being expanded? The porch is not being expanded. They're dealing within their footprint. So they've made judicious statements or judicious decisions to work within our plan and work within the community. And hence, I wish you the best of luck and keep those two puppies, those two dogs going straight. So I approve the case.
Roman Zabby Hutch.
I also vote in favor of the application. To me, the variances will not be a deterrent to the public good, or will they undermine the intent, and they will basically reinforce the effect of the Fetner zoning ordinance and plan. I think, as everyone else has stated, it's a great site. Welcome for being a year-round resident. It's always nice. And great for you.
Lorraine Salata.
In as much as I always like to see fewer variances, I understand, you know, the need. So there's really no downside to it. It doesn't really impact anyone else. It doesn't even change really the appearance of the house. So I would vote in favor of it.
Dan Smith III.
I'm also going to vote in favor of the application. I think 99 out of 100 people would not even know that anything happened there. It's just the way you just filled in the areas to work for you and not be an impact to development. I think it's great. You had really good bones to work with. And just tweaked it where you needed to make it more comfortable for your lives. And I love to see the passion about that here. And it's, you know, it's a beautiful setting there, and I think you're really going to love it. I'm in favor.
Mike Wiesen.
Well, you had me at why would I move anywhere else? So that was a home run right there. When you built this house, I admired it from the very beginning, the look of it and everything, and the honesty that you brought in front of the board, not only this time, but the previous time, is beyond some applicants you would believe that come in here. I wholeheartedly vote in favor.
Peter Chaco.
I can only echo the statements of the rest of the board at this point. I believe that the variance relief is de minimis, and when this project is completed, the only people that will know that it was done are probably the people in this room. I vote in favor.
Well, you are composed. Congratulations on your reincarnation in Ventnor.
Yeah.
So, welcome, and
good afternoon.
Very good application. Thank you. Good night. Okay. Next application is that of Mr. Horace Palmer.
Real quick.
5608.
Hold on one sec.
Eric.
We can use these plans, since nothing's changing, we can use these plans as compliance plans if you wish.
So we'll just take them. Tonight. No, no.
No, no, no.
We're going to use these.
We'll use these.
Can we have...
You want to come back?
Unless you want to keep them.
They are pretty. You want these?
Yes.
One more?
I need two more.
I'll give you everything. See what you need. Yes.
I'm going to recuse myself.
Okay. All right, well, let's go on the record here, real quick.
He didn't let you vote.
Okay.
This is actually Peter.
Let's let the record reflect that Mr. Taco has recused himself on the next application of 5608 Edgewater Avenue, and he has removed himself physically from the board. That's Anthony Schaefer, right?
Yes.
Do you need more plans?
I need one more set.
We need one more set of plans, compliance, on the last application. I need one more set of plans on the last application. Does anybody have any they can give?
Yeah. Never mind.
Do you want to keep them? The plans? Can I keep them? Can I take them back? Or the one that just sent, the 101.
We're going to do a preamble on this.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Okay.
Edgewater.
Just introduce yourself and we'll be sworn and then we'll do it that way.
Let's see. Mr. Chairman, Eric Goldstein, with me tonight we have the prepare of the site plan, Mr. Schaefer, who I guess is going to come up. We have all three of us, well, not three of us, but going to get sworn, and Brad Barker will have them sworn, and then we'll have a lot to talk about on this.
Okay.
So
I'll get the two of you sworn in. Mr. Barker, Mr. Schaefer, just your name and address for the record, please.
Yes, Andrew Schaefer, 1425 Cantillon Boulevard, Mays Landing, New Jersey.
Okay. And Mr. Barker?
Brad Barker, 513 Woodland Avenue, Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
And if you can each please raise your right hand, each swear affirm the testimony you'll give tonight will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Schaefer, you're an engineer, correct?
And planner.
And planner. So you've appeared before this board many times, so your credentials are acceptable.
Awesome. Thank you.
And Mr., you are a licensed architect in the state of New Jersey?
Licensed architect in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, and I've been in front of this board previously.
Okay. Your credentials are also acceptable.
Thank you.
You've been sworn, correct?
Yes.
Yep.
And so we're going to proceed. Mr. McLaren will go and do a preamble first, and then you will continue right through.
Good. Thank you.
Roger, please continue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members. The report is based on the application of Horace and Kimberly Palmer, 5608 Edgewater Avenue, Block 150, Lots 10 and 10.01. Ventnor, New Jersey, engineering and planning report seeking C variances located within the R7 single family zoning district. Preliminary firm AE elevation 10. It's not a coastal way zone. It's deemed complete. It's a hardship variance. Clearly, it's a hardship variance, a substantial benefit variance. Materials reviewed on the bottom of page 1. Continued on page 2. And you can see the plans reviewed, mainly house plans, but the variance plan and survey provided by Andrew Schaefer and Schaefer Nashdeg and Nashdeg and Scheidegg is dated January 10th, 2023. That pretty much depicts all the land use requirements and the variances being sought. The project description, the application proposes to construct a new flood-compliant single-family dwelling located partially upland of a new bulkhead with an almost equal portion of the dwelling over open water.
The previous structure is likely damaged during Superstorm Sandy and currently has a non-compliant timber bulkhead that will be replaced with a compliant bulkhead woodward or in line with the same bulkhead. This type of project is not unusual along the stretch of Inside Thoroughfare. As a matter of fact, about 100 feet away, or maybe 200 feet away, was a identical application. But similar applications have been approved over the past several years. No NJDEP permit or application has been submitted as part of the application, but obviously that will be a condition of approval that will have to be submitted to get construction and zoning permits from the city. A water-resistant gate is also proposed, which requires approval as an approved bulkhead opening. All measurements are taken from the bulkhead. So that is why there's some changes to the variances being sought. Everything over the water is basically a variance because it's beyond the bulkhead. Zoning chart is on page 3, and as you can see, there are a multitude of variances, and I'd say probably 99.9% of them are directly related to the size of the upland area versus the size of the total lot. So let's go over the variances being requested. A lot area, whereas the minimum lot area required is 2,000 square feet of upland area, 1,875 square feet exists for the total, but of that, only 912.5 square feet, and that was the scale, so it's give or take, whatever. I would request that Mr. Schaefer provide those final numbers for the compliance plans. Lot width, whereas the minimum lot width is 32 feet, 25 feet exists, and 25 feet is proposed. Again, there is no available land on either side to purchase to make the lot width any wider. Front yard setback to the building, whereas the 12 feet is minimum required front yard setback for all principal and accessory uses. 11.4 feet exists and 11.5 feet is proposed. Side yard setback to the building, where and building and the deck on the left, whereas 4 feet is minimum side yard setback for all principal and accessory uses. 2.8 feet exists and 3 feet is proposed. Side yard setback for the building and deck on the right side, whereas 4 feet is a minimum side yard setback for all principal and accessory uses. 3 feet exists and 3 feet is proposed. Rear yard setback to the building, rear yard setback to the decks, first and second floor, whereas 12 feet is a minimum required rear yard setback for all principal and accessory uses, and 0 feet is proposed. It's actually a negative setback, but everything's measured to the bulkhead. They still own the repairing rights to where the deck and building will be, but again, everything's measured to the bulkhead. Rear yard deck height, second floor, whereas no deck is permitted to be higher than the first floor in the rear yard, and the second floor deck is proposed. Off-street parking, whereas the minimum number of off-street parking spaces based on 3 bedrooms is 2 spaces, 0 spaces exist and 1 space is provided, is proposed. Again, I don't see much room for to provide a second space. Again, testimony will provide answers to the board for that. Lot coverage, whereas maximum lot coverage is 75%, 99.8% exists and 94.7% is proposed. Landscape coverage total, whereas a minimum overall landscape coverage is 25%, 0% exists and 5.3% is proposed. Again, believe it or not, front yard landscaping is being met. we'll take it. But in this low-lying area, and sometimes it's hard to grow anything, so later in my comments we'll address that. So they are seeking a landscape plan waiver. I would agree with that, but on the compliance plans to show what they have been granting or asking for from the clients, for the applicants in this location where their low line is to put any plantings in raised planter beds. So some comments are as follows. The lot area and lot depth are all existing non-conforming, and the upland area is even more non-conforming. However, the structure exists there today, so it technically is a buildable lot. The minimum lot width is not being met, and again, as I said before, there is not any vacant adjacent land to purchase to widen the lot on either side. Actually, I believe two doors down, a similar application came in also. The required minimum lot depth is 62.5 feet, cannot be met for the upland area portion of the property, and therefore a hardship variance is required. again, I scaled out the 36.5 feet to the bulkhead from the front property line. Front yard setback to the principal building is not being met and requires a variance. Again, that's a, it's mimicking the existing non-conforming structure that was there before. It improves it a little bit, but it is an improvement. The driveway between the garage and property line is not being met, is not being used as a parking space and is undersized anyway. The applicant did request a variance for that, but because they aren't meeting the conditions to trigger that variance, that is not a variance. All the rear yard decks are over the water and the setback is measured to the bulkhead line. That's why they're all measured to zero. I did add some negative numbers to the zoning chart just to kind of show what was scaled back as the setbacks to the into the water. Again, we have something a little odd in our ordinance where rear yard decks, you can't have one higher than the first floor, and a deck above is being proposed. Again, we've talked about looking at that in the future. Perhaps this is another reason why we should. Two street trees are not shown. Again, I don't think there's any room for them, and I don't think they would have a very good chance of surviving. And as the board has always been prudent in not requiring applicants to provide something that maybe likely won't have success. An additional comment, the plans do not indicate whether or not fill is proposed to elevate the property. Just a general comment I make in all these low-lying areas, perhaps you should fill the grade as much as possible to elevate that garage floor to just get rid of the nuisance flooding. I mean, at that elevation, you're going to have water in that garage probably twice a month. So if you can elevate it to maybe elevation 5, 5.5, maybe 6, perhaps the additional height would be warranted to get them out of the flood zone. Suggest raising minimum garage floor elevations, as I just said. Shrubs shall be proposed to meet city's ordinance. Use berms or raised planters as desired. Landscaping, I already discussed that. Utility connections and locations are not shown. Again, that'll be a condition of approval for the construction office to show those locations. And the building height is measured from BFE plus 4, which is 10.10 plus 4, for elevation 14. The design elevation is elevation BFE plus 3, or elevation 13, or 9 feet from the top of the curb is being met. The curb is so low that that's not, it's better to go from BFE plus 4. Another thing that the board has been approving in the past where it presented to the board is a bulkhead opening is proposed below the required minimum height of elevation 8, NABD 88 date, and the board would need to approve that opening or by the engineer, the city engineer. The opening will be sealed with a watertight door, which has been used with success when closed. Again, the water pressure actually keeps the door shut, and I recommend that if that could be provided with a cut sheet, that this board should approve that condition on that being approved by the city engineer. And my recommendations are, I'm not going to go through all those, but the applicant can testify to that and discuss that.
Are you in agreement with with Mr. McLaren's report?
Entirely.
Okay. And you complete, Roger?
Yes, I am.
And then please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. McLaren. So, as Roger points out, we do need a lot of variances, and Ms. Salata said less is better, of course, but on a lot like this, it's very difficult. And we dealt with this, as Roger said, at 5708 Edgewater just a little while ago, and I had that application. It was very similar because there's not much you can do here. The lot itself is narrow. Almost all of the work being done is taking an existing nonconformity and lessening the intensity of the variance. We call that a betterment just by doing this work, even though it's still a variance. It's less severe than what's there now. And it almost makes the lot impossible to develop if you were to follow the code. As Roger pointed out, twice a month, probably more than that, this street is flooded badly. And landscaping's tough to maintain, although the landscaping's actually being met as part of this application. So when you're listening to the professionals talk about the variances, if variances aren't granted, this lot really becomes undeveloped. This is the best we can do, and as architect will testify to, we're going to raise to elevation 5, you said?
Yeah, at least 5.
Okay. So we're going to try to fill that up, making it more usable, because I've been on Edgewater when it rains, and if the tide is high, it's a moat. And it will be continuously a moat until everybody gets their bulkhead heights up, but, you know, that's unfortunately not going to happen for quite some time. So having said that, Brad, if you could just walk us through Roger's report, we agree with, again, in its entirety. So with regard to each variance, Roger's correct that we need significant variances, but what's being proposed will lessen what's there now. If he's left it like it is, they're all existing nonconformities, they're not going to get fixed. So let's walk through what we're attempting to do here.
I'll slide my stuff down. Our intent is to raise the finished floor as high as possible based on the curb height, and really the slope of the ramp to get you into the garage is going to be the limiting factor of how high we can raise it, but our goal would be to try to raise it slightly above 5, because we know 5 is kind of the number of where, you know, a little bit below 5 water comes in that area based on other work we've done on that street. Existing house, 3-bedroom that we're planning on removing. The new construction, we would be reducing approximately 5 feet off of the water to create more deck space, give you more of a clear view of the waterway, and reduce the footprint of the house, but also giving us more deck space. The existing house has a boat lift underneath. We would plan to put that boat lift back, create a one-car garage where there isn't a one-car garage, meeting some requirements of additional parking because they can't right now. And we increased the footprint of the land piece of the house to get the garage in that area. There's no parking.
You're going to have one spot.
Yes.
Increasing off-street parking. Although anybody who parks on the street on Edgewater is crazy. On-street parking is flooded. But we're going to do our best to at least have one car that we can put in a safe place on the property where it won't get wet.
So the landward side, we'd have front steps, a small porch, interior steps also from the garage to get you up into the first level. As the existing house, it would be 3 bedrooms in the new house. Pilings on the first floor, concrete garage, you know, concrete block garage at the first floor of the front of the house. And as we talked, we're planning on having some landscaping in front of the house to meet the requirements alongside the steps and on the other side of the property, other side of the driveway. And we would definitely look to raise those up in planting beds as you stated. First floor up, we'd have 2 bedrooms, 1 bath, a small den, sitting area, stairs to get you to the upper floor, and a rear deck off of the bedroom.
Just as an obvious answer, I know the board does this, we know it's the current house on site flood compliant?
It is not.
It's not being proposed flood compliant?
Yes.
Would, in your opinion, as a professional licensed architect, the replacement of a non-flood compliant house with a compliant house be a better way to this project?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, it's seen damage over the years, the pilings and things like that. They've done numerous repairs. Second floor, main living area, there's an office, dining area, kitchen, living room that faces the second floor, the second story deck that we're looking to add to the house on the back. That's really the main living space of the house, and we're looking to have a deck there because that's really where everyone's going to enjoy the space. And like I said before, we did reduce the rear of the house to increase the size of the deck to create a better view of the waterway. And the third floor of the house would be the master bedroom, with a fiberglass deck on the top floor, inset from the top floor to meet the code, and a stairway with a walk-in closet and a bathroom on that floor.
Brad, is there anything about your design that doesn't meet or exceed the design of the house that's there now?
No, everything we're doing, we look to do better than what was there. Our goal was to enhance everything.
board, of course, is not going to be required to require a lot of variance. Would you have done this without?
No, no, not at all. It would have been, it would have made many of the rooms, they're really tight as they are now compared to other houses built through.
How wide is the access?
19 feet.
And a lot,
Yes.
I point that out again because if you go through the variance list, you're all going to have a significant number of variances to vote on. So we think there really wasn't a way to lessen the number of variances similar to the houses that you have now. Well, walk us through.
I have a quick question for the architect. So would you explain to the board the 3-foot setback and how it affects the side of the house with like windows and fire code?
Yeah, the code requires a 4-foot setback from the neighboring lots for zoning purposes, and really also looking for building purposes. We would have to put a fire rating on the wall because we're so close to the adjacent houses.
If you were to, say, have a 3.5-foot setback versus a 3...
You have to get to 4, really, to make that.
So it's, right.
So, and really, to take 2 feet off the house would put it in the 17-foot range, which would really make the bedrooms and hallways not really usable space.
It's as part
of this. Yeah. We try to, minimum, you know, we'd like to be around 20 feet for the width of the house, and most lots, that's not a problem because we have a lot wider lots. But here, we're really tight. We've increased, I think, on one of the sides, we already have reduced the...
It was 2.8, so you bumped it up to 3.
Yeah, it was 2.5, and we brought it to 3 feet on the side. From the existing house, we reduced the 6 inches from the existing house.
Again, we would consider that a betterment from what's there now with this new design, even though it's still being varied.
Yes. And here really is a look at the exterior of the house. You know, we're lifting it up on this garage area, creating a front porch, vinyl siding, large windows, really getting a look over the water. Decks on the rear, you can see that we have stacked the 2 decks on the rear and then created a third floor deck. And then on the third floor, there's dormers to incorporate the bedroom on the third floor. Spiral staircase on the back to get you to the two back deck levels and also down to the boat ramp.
Now, I have a question regarding the garage. The garage is 20 feet, and how much space is in front of the garage to the property line?
I would have to check the site plan. I think there's 22.8 feet.
11.5 feet.
So that would be about 31 feet then. My question is if you, if they had smaller cars and the garage was an open garage, could you put 2 smaller cars in that 31-foot space?
It would fit. It'd be tight, but yeah.
It would be tight, but I don't know the kind of, you know, it floods a lot, so the door is kind of a, it's not kind of an asset with the flooding, but at the same time, we can't put the cars over, but if you have smaller cars, sometimes you can stack them in there and they can get to where we take a car off the street. But I don't know what, it could be driving, you know, they could be driving pickup trucks for all I know. Yeah. So.
Going to, Mr. Chairman, can Mr. Schaefer.
Whoever wants to answer.
Might be a good transition time. If there are any more questions for Brad. We can talk architecture, or Andy can get into the site plan because he's probably.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to demand it. I'm just trying to talk about it.
Yeah, no, it's good to know. I think ultimately, it wouldn't technically be 2 legal parking spaces, so we couldn't say there are 2 spots. But I guess if the cars were small-ish, they would fit.
So, but it's a thought to try and improve their lot, and the city. That's all. Andy?
My only concern, and maybe you can hear this, is that
if it's slightly short, that people would want to park there and they'd be hanging over the sidewalk area.
That's a concern.
You know, and when we were designing this, we really looked back and forth whether we could put a car outside, put one inside. And that's why we're looking for that half-foot variance on the front yard setback, because we moved it up a little bit to get that car inside the garage, because we were worried about, you know, the cars hanging out on the outside.
I mean, it's tight, and your garage is tight now.
Yeah.
With the car in there, yeah.
And Mr. Chairman, one thing, you know, that area is getting developed more. You've got all the new restaurants, you've got the market. Right. That street now becomes more of a walkable from Dorset down to the edge, so we don't want a car.
Yeah, I agree 100%. So I mean, it was food for thought. It was an opportunity, but maybe a bad one.
You're almost a victim of vendor success there, because that area now has become a hub. On the weekends in the summer, it's packed, and people are walking over the bridge, and then they're in the Dorset or the market, and they're walking down to the water. So it would be tough if someone parked with the car. You have to walk around, and pedestrian traffic would be impeded.
And then the second item is the spiral staircase is almost zero lot line. You haven't talked about that.
Yeah, I mean, we really want to have access down to the water level from the house, and that really, there isn't much lot space to put it on because of the boat lift underneath of it. That we would really, our goal was to bring the spiral staircase in that piece that was left over on the step down to the lower deck to have access. There's not much we can do about that.
What is the construction you're specifying on the spiral staircase?
It would be a steel or aluminum staircase.
So it'd be galvanized steel or aluminum.
Yep.
So it would be a fire rated. It'd be a fire rated assembly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be the main exit. I mean,
okay.
We would meet the all code requirements based on the exit out of the house.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Andy.
Fine. Thank you. So,
site plan here, so walk us through what you designed and the variances.
Certainly. So, to begin with, this is really a balance between, do we save the house and lift it, or do we replace the house? And I've done, I think, 7 or 8 house, maybe more, house lifts between Edgewater and Winchester. And a number of those houses had to be structurally rehabbed before we could lift them. They were so bad, mostly rot. Not so much damage from hurricane, but it's still, there was a lot of, when you have a house mostly over the water, you're going to suffer some biological and decay that takes away from the house. And I think we decided in this case, a replacement was much better. And so the balance tipped that direction. Now, in terms of the design of the house, yes, there's a daunting list of variances that we're going to be looking at. 13, that's a lot. But what you'll see is in every case, the setback or the incursion into that area from existing to proposed has been lessened a little bit. So I'll approach it that way a little bit first in a generic term, that we are lessening the impact of the neighborhood without raising the height. So the house ends up a little bit smaller than what's existing there, but still maintains the main features, which being decks in the back and also the boat lift underneath. So talking about the site plan again, if I can, pointing to the back, that's one of the important ones. You'll see that our proposed conditions here on the right don't extend into the waterway as far as the existing house does. And that's also true in front of the house. So the light, air, and open space and view ways down the street and down the waterway are being slightly improved without raising the height of the house beyond what is permitted. So as Mr. McLaren had characterized, a lot of these variances are truly hardships due to the lot width, which is 25 feet where 32 is required, in the lot area, which is less, and also the percentage of the house that's over the water, which is significant in this case, as is all the other houses on Edgewater, on that side of Edgewater at least, and the other opposite, reflective side of Winchester Avenue. But as I said, all the variances associated with the new house lessen the impact of the existing conditions, which we could have come in and done a house lift and not been here at all. But this gives us the opportunity to design a new house looking the way it does and balance it with what the board sees as appropriate for the neighborhood. So, as far as the detriment to these variances, and I'll go through the variances individually, there are no detriments in improving all the existing nonconformities to some degree. I will say there is one nonconformity, that's on the right side of the house. The side yard setback is 3 feet proposed and existing. But on the other side, where they have 2.8 feet existing, we're taking that to 3. But the real impact is the front and rear setback being improved. And while it's still in my mind, getting back to the garage and potentially parking 2 cars, in a flood situation, and if you have 2 small cars and leave the garage door open, you probably could get 2 cars and still maintain some passageway for the sidewalk. It's not ideal, it doesn't match the ordinance, but in real life, it could be done. So, in terms of, and again, I'm going to talk generally about the variances, the benefits involved improve building aesthetics. I think that's going to be clear from the drawing we've already seen. We're increasing the green space in the post-developed condition, and the neighborhood views will be improved due to the reduction in solid house footprint. So our house footprint is reduced compared to existing conditions. So the light, air, and open space, as well as view quarters, will be improved. The other benefits I want to talk about that are a little more meaty, and that is the FEMA or the floodproofing requirements are met in terms of the finished floor elevation of the building and also the upgrade of the bulkhead, which improves the city's FEMA rating in terms of insurance and so forth. So it's a very positive thing, not just for the homeowner, but for the neighborhood and the city as a whole. The parking variance, we are asking for a parking variance for one space that we're not providing, where 2 are required. Currently we have 0. Again, that's another example of a situation that we're improving and not exacerbating. So in my opinion, there's no detriment to providing that parking variance when it actually improves the parking situation. C2 variances. Some of these could probably be characterized as C2. Could we fold the building back? Well, we could fold back the building back to meet a setback requirement without having an Amazon tiny house. But the front, we did improve, but we didn't pull it all the way back. It's a balance of what makes sense for the neighborhood in terms of the size and scale of the house compared to the houses around it. And I should say, too, that the front setback is in character and actually less than a number of the houses on the street and more, excuse me, less than some and more than others. So it does fit the character of the neighborhood in terms of front yard setback. So, in my professional opinion, again, we'll go through the variances in detail if you like. The granting of the variances that were requested and that Mr. McLaren has detailed out for us would not be a detriment to the zone plan or the master plan of the city of Ventnor and would be a benefit more so than a detriment.
And a benefit to what's there now as well.
Well, that's exactly right. It's an improvement, in other words, in layman's.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman,
yes.
No,
Robinson,
sorry.
Go ahead.
Could you explain the status of any DEP permits for this property?
Okay, I will give you what I believe the status is, but we still have to study those. Building a new house in the same footprint or less than the one that's there should eliminate the need for a CAFR permit. Obviously, we'll need a permit, without a doubt, for redoing the bulkhead. But there's a good possibility we will not need a CAFR or a water development permit for the house footprint that we're proposing.
And the bulkhead's going to be in line with your same location as the existing bulkhead, correct?
Well, we don't know yet.
So once we get that permit,
it varies.
Right.
And even on the same street, we've noticed that sometimes it's lined up, sometimes we can go further in. I'll tell you when we get the permit.
But obviously we need the permit before you do it.
Yeah. Absolutely, yes.
But the bulkhead will be replaced.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
Or another one, waterward of it. We honestly don't know yet.
The method and the means and the method is up to you and the state.
Right. Okay. And back to the driveway thing, I still have that on my mind. There's a maximum slope we can have from the top of curb or the edge of the street to that garage. And with the 11 or so feet to the edge of pavement, it doesn't leave you even at a 3 or 4, which is a steep driveway percent, doesn't leave you more than maybe a half a foot higher for the driveway surface, or excuse me, the garage slab surface than the curb.